brighter futures, creative support, housing and employment. Clubhouse Network Newsletter, Christmas 2020 Special Issue. Merry Christmas. Hello everyone. Welcome to your Clubhouse Network Newsletter Christmas Special for 2020. This month, read about Kate's Animal Sanctuary, Christmas film and TV quiz, early electronic musical instruments, this month's Mindful Moments, Tony Calvin sings Christmas Eve, read about the 10 best-selling toys, my best ever Christmas present, and finally, riddles, jokes and fantasy football. Newsletter contributors. Editor, producer, audio, Mark Gilbert. Feature writer, Howard Dexter. Contributor, Diane Goodstadt. Photographer, Charlotte Booth. Resident poet, Adrian Croxton. Approval, Sharon Godwin. Front cover, Lichfield Cathedral. Kate's Animal Sanctuary. My name is Kate. I'm the clubhouse deputy manager, and along with a friend and several volunteers, I run a small rescue animal sanctuary. At evenings and weekends, especially during winter, I am mostly to be found knee-deep in mud. There are 24 rescued animals living at the sanctuary, including hens, bantams, cockerels, turkeys, sheep, goats and horses. This year, we experimented with veg growing, aiming to grow some favourite veggies for the hens and turkeys. This went down a storm with the feathered ones, and we're now looking to expand the veggie plot. Although if the goats continually gate crash their way into the veg patch this year, there may not be too much left for the hens unless we goat-proof the fence. Our sheep, Daisy, Teddy and Jude, love a tummy tickle and are quite partial to rich tea biscuits. I did attempt to introduce a healthy diet, you know, carrot, sticks, chopped apple, that sort of thing. But no, they'll spit those back at you and bleat loudly until they get a bicky. Biscuits are also popular with the Shetlands, goats, horses, Emmy and Annie, Blossom, and as you may imagine, feeding times are just chaos, especially when Jane, who is only 4'10", is in the sheep stable and they all decide to bolt, usually running through Jane's legs and taking her with them as she is small enough to actually sit on their backs. She gets quite far. Not sure sheep riding is ethical though. Our first lamb, Daisy, came to us last bonfire night, very scared and very hungry. We tried to locate her owner, but nobody came forward, and we never found out where she came from. We decided she would be lonely, so got her friend Teddy, who was destined for market as he was surplus to requirements. When we thought Teddy may pine if anything happened to Daisy, we got Jude, also destined for market, and who I wanted to call Bernard, but got vetoed. We've decided we can't go on like this, or we'll have a flock. I recently joined clubhouse support worker Maggie's Bring a Pet session from the stables, providing a live tour. Blossom the Shetland particularly liked the camera and couldn't get enough of the limelight. The sheep, Daisy, Teddy and Jude were very well behaved and came running on cue when called. They love a camera and I'll happily post the pics. It wasn't too chaotic. Shetland Blossom came to the sanctuary many years ago. She'd been used as a baby machine and had produced foal after foal, year after year. She was no longer wanted, but luckily came to us. One morning, not long after her arrival, there was great surprise when it was discovered that she had given birth to a tiny foal on her own during the night. A son, who we named Harry, lives with her at the sanctuary and they are inseparable. Prince, who is our latest resident, had been found alone in a field without shelter. He was being fed by two women who discovered him. He was a stallion, so unfortunately for him, it was becoming increasingly difficult for his rescuers to find a home for him, as stallions can be difficult to handle. The people who owned him didn't want him and had made the decision to end his life. We received a desperate plea for help. We decided that we needed to give him a chance, and Prince Justin, so named because we got him just in time, came to live with us. I think you will agree, he is beautiful. He is learning to be around people and other horses, and is beginning to settle down. He and Blossom have become great friends, much to her son Harry's disgust. Our beautiful chestnut, Max, who is very clever and can open his own stable door, is such a kind soul that after he has let himself out, he kindly walks around the yard and opens the other stable doors to let his friends out. He's such a generous boy. Our turkeys and hens are all rescued. The hens in particular are happy, healthy and very inquisitive girls who go further up the field each day until we can barely see them. We have to round them up by shouting chick, chick, chick and waving a tub of mealworms, a treat they just can't resist. They're into everything and love to follow us around each stable, looking for juicy bugs. We always have a little feathered posse around us while we muck out. Our turkey boys, Freddie and Bertie, are very sociable and love people. When they were young, they would panic if they couldn't see us. They'd call loudly, then run, flapping their wings madly, until they were back in sight of their mums. They're very friendly and love new people. The skin on their head changes colour to match their mood. When they are happy, they turn blue. Freddie particularly likes a head massage and has his own oil blend made for him by one of our volunteers. I like my turkey boys so much and worry that they may be too cold. I ensure they have lots of straw in their beds, lovingly plumped up each day, sprinkled with lavender to keep bugs away. Too hot, during the summer I make iced fruit bowls for them and mist them with water, or that the stones on the path are too big or sharp. I move them out of the way to make sure they don't hurt their feet. I also hand feed them blueberries and grapes, which they love. I can't think why people say I spoil them. We have three cockerels. The youngest hatched on 7th of May, VE Day. For a while he couldn't find his cock-a-doodle-doo, but has mastered it now and begins before the sun comes up. We've recently discovered that our other hatchling, who had been named Gertrude, is in fact a boy. He's obviously a very late developer, as he hatched in May, but has only just found his cock-a-doodle-doo. I suppose better late than never. He has now been renamed Elvis. Our three goats can be very grumpy. I have lost count of the times I've been butted by them when they're in a mood because they don't like the rain, or they don't like waiting for their dinner, or don't like being left out of a good cuddle, or they want to steal everybody else's stable, or the sheep have been fed dinner first. I'm usually covered in little horn-shaped bruises, but they are cute and love a good face massage. We even polish grommets' impressive horns, although he doesn't appreciate our efforts, such ingratitude. Our list of residents, not including the resident buzzard family, numerous robins and wild birds, our swallows who nest in the stables every year, the owl who loves our gatepost and spends hours sitting on it, and the fox and badger families who live at the top of the field. Horses, Max, Lenny Henry, Annie, Emmy, Prince Justin, Isabella, Harry, Blossom, sheep, Daisy, Teddy, Jude, goats, Gromit, Willie, Louie, turkeys, Bertram and Freddie, hens, Celia, Dot and Star, the Mrs. Warrens, bantams, Elsie, Little Chicken, Summer, cockerels, Kevin, Chadwick and Gertrude, now renamed as Elvis. Self-harm support and recovery COVID-19 poetry competition. It's fair to say that it's a difficult time for everyone at the moment. With the permission of customers of the Self-Harm Support and Recovery Service, we'd like to share with you a series of poems written by customers who have used poetry to express their COVID experiences. A booklet of all the poems is being sent out along with the electronic version of the newsletter. If you would like a paper copy, then please ask your support worker. The resident Clubhouse newsletter poet Adrian has selected a winner, printed here, and has provided some comments alongside each entry, which we hope adds value to the efforts of everyone who submitted. Thank you to Adrian and everyone who contributed. We hope you can relate to individual situations which may prompt thought and reflection. Here is competition winner Laura's wonderful, poignant and very personal poem. She always liked to be alone. She often chose to be by herself. It wasn't something set in stone, but she preferred to live upon life's shelf. Occasionally she'd spend some time with others when she felt the need, but generally a quiet existence was what made her feel that she was freed. But sometimes in life you tend to find that if you ask, you shall receive. And one particular year she found herself in circumstances you could barely believe. The woman who rejoiced in solitude was now relieved of having a choice, for all around her too were alone, and none of them had a voice. At first it was of little consequence, for life resumed as it normally went, but time passed on and she was still alone, and she finally knew what loneliness meant. For choosing seclusion is all well and good, when the choice to do so is your own, but now every person everywhere had to follow rules to remain alone. Careful what you wish for is something that crossed her mind, for weeks turned into months and the loneliness never declined. She realized that she missed her friends and her family, but it was too late. She was cut off from everything she'd known. It did not help her mental state. She's still in a state of uncertainty, as are many across our land, but goodness, kindness and being thoughtful always lend a helping hand. No one knows what lies ahead. The very thought fills her with anxiety. But one day, if we work together, we'll all remember what it's like to be free. Laura. Judge's comments. A very moving poem to stir people's thoughts. Early electronic musical instruments. The theremin is widely regarded as the world's first electronic musical instrument. It is also touchless and is played by waving each hand up and down to make a sound. The theremin is still in production and many musicians have used it. Film scores of the 40s and 50s used the instrument for ghostly and eerie effects, and it made a famous appearance in the chorus of the Beach Boys' hit, Good Vibrations. The unique at the time instrument was invented in 1920 by Professor Leon Theremin, hence the name. There was much interest in the strange instrument and Professor Theremin gave many concerts and demonstrations. In 1929, Joseph Schillinger composed first airphonic suite for theremin and orchestra. Theremin was asked to perform the piece with the Cleveland Orchestra. During the same decade, in 1929, Lawrence Hammond established his company for the manufacture of electronic instruments. They went on to produce the iconic Hammond organ. Designed to be a lower cost alternative to a pipe organ for church music, Musicians soon discovered that the Hammond was an excellent instrument for rock, jazz, and blues. The first commercially manufactured synthesizer was the Novachord, built by the Hammond Organ Company from 1935 to 1942. The instrument wasn't very portable as it weighed 250 kilos, and it was the size of two pianos. Even in the 60s, synthesizers were still usually confined to studios due to their size. A breakthrough came in 1970 with the Minimoog synthesizer. Smaller and portable, the instrument sold 12,000 units. German band Kraftwerk were the first to embrace the Minimoog in 1970 and also used drum machines and vocoders, which they used on their classic album Autobahn in 1974. Chicory Tip became the first band to have a number one song in 1972, using a Moog synthesizer. Their song, Son of My Father, topped the charts for 3 weeks. The Moog was then used by many, including Donna Summer, who had a big hit in 1977 with I Feel Love, laying the foundation for electronic dance music. In the next issue, I'll bring the story up to date and look at what the future holds for electronic music. What is mindfulness? Mindfulness is the aware, balanced acceptance of the present experience. It isn't more complicated than that. It is opening to or receiving the present moment, pleasant or unpleasant, just as it is, without either clinging to it or rejecting it. Sylvia Boorstein. This month's Mindful Moments. You might be tempted to avoid the messiness of daily living for the tranquility of stillness and peacefulness. This, of course, would be an attachment to stillness. Like any strong attachment, it leads to delusion. It arrests development and short-circuits the cultivation of wisdom. John Kabat-Zinn. There is a foundation for our lives, a place in which our life rests. That place is nothing but the present moment, as we see, hear, experience what is. If we do not return to that place, we live our lives out of our heads. We blame others, we complain, we feel sorry for ourselves. All of these symptoms show that we're stuck in our thoughts. We're out of touch with the open space that is always right there. Joko Beck. And now for some music. Tony Calvans sings Christmas Eve.
Reflected in your eyes, all my dreams are coming.
What will be in your stocking on the 25th? Here are 10 of the best-selling toys. 1. Barbie. With over a billion sales for over 50 years, she is still a big favourite. 2. Lego. Derived from the Danish words for play well, the iconic bricks have sold over 320 billion since 1949. 3. Etch-a-Sketch. Invented in 1960, more than 175 million units have been sold. 4. Mr. Potato Head. Invented in the 1950s, sales were good until Toy Story in the 90s, when sales rocketed and many millions more were sold. 5. Rubik's Cube. Created in 1974, but not licensed for sale until 1980, it has sold more than 350 million units. 6. Super Soaker. Invented by NASA engineer Lonnie Johnson in 1983, capable of firing water up to 50 feet. 250 million units have been sold. 7. Star Wars action figures. Even before the newer films, between 1978 to 1985, 300 million action figures were sold. 8. Hot Wheels. Invented by Mattel in 1968, the company has gone on to produce more than 4 billion cars. 9. G.I. Joe. Introduced by Hasbro in 1964 and features 21 moving parts. Many millions have been sold. 10. Transformers. The shape-shifting robots have been loved since 1980 and have earned $3.7 billion. My best ever Christmas present. As a child, one of my favourite pastimes was slot car racing. Scale Extra became the most popular, but Mimic, who also did Hornby Model Rail, made a set with much smaller cars and track which made it cheaper than its top-end rival. Maybe the most innovative was the Matchbox Power Track. Matchbox cars were known as pocket money toys as their cost was only 2 shillings. The company developed a track that had a powered spring running all the way around each slot. Each set came with a box of sticky guide pins which could be attached to any standard Matchbox car underneath and at the front. My friend had a set and I had plenty of cars, so it was like 2 race teams. Matchbox had an advantage. As well as racing, multiple cars could be put behind each other to recreate a crowded roadway system. It was impossible to crash any of the cars due to the spacing on each spring. For me, the only drawback was that it was very noisy. This was due to the springs rattling around in the slots. My parents didn't have a great deal of money, and so I had a few of the cheaper slot car racing sets. Rather than an expensive transformer to power the cars, batteries were used instead. Often in the cars, meaning that you couldn't accelerate, and the only time that the cars went slower was when the batteries needed changing. I mentioned before the need to buy a separate transformer for the better sets, including Scale Extra and Mimic. A basic small oval track in Scale Extra was around £4, and another £2 for the transformer. £6 was far too much for my parents, and so after many years, I told my mum I would lower my standards and would be happy if I could have the cheaper Mimic racetrack. This she agreed. Nothing more was said on the matter until just before Christmas. I entered the room to hear my parents having a conversation about my mum overspending on presents. My mum's face dropped as Dad said, "Just how much did that stupid Scale Extra cost?" Obviously, I made no comment and pretended I didn't hear him. On Christmas morning, I saw a very large box with the rest of my gifts, but decided to open some smaller ones first. Finally, I could wait no longer. Of course, I knew what it was, but for my mum's sake, I looked surprised. Suddenly, to my own amazement, I saw a large picture of a figure of 8 on the box, complete with a flyover. Not a basic oval track at all. And very expensive. My lovely mum explained I had wanted a Scale Extra for so long. She wanted to get me a good one before I got too old. Solve these Christmas riddles. I'll read the question and shortly after give the answer. Number 1. If the end of the year is on the 31st, then what is the end of Christmas? The letter S. 2. When does Christmas come before Thanksgiving? In the dictionary. 3. What do you have December that you don't have in any other month? The letter D. 4. I'm simply a bug that hates Christmas. What am I? A humbug. 5. What two letters describe Santa's sack after Christmas? M. T. 6. When Santa sets off from the North Pole on Christmas Eve, in which direction does he travel? South. Everywhere is south from the North Pole. 7. My stripes are red and white and I'm something you lick. What am I? A candy cane. 8. Not at home in a trough. Away in a manger. 9. If it takes 5 elves 5 minutes to make 5 dolls, how long would it take 100 elves to make 100 dolls? 5 minutes. 10. What's his parents' favourite Christmas carol? Silent Night. Jokes. What goes, oh, 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 Santa walking backwards? Why was the snowman looking through the carrots? He was picking his nose. What does the Queen call her Christmas broadcast? The One Show. How did Scrooge win the football game? The Ghost of Christmas Past. What's the most popular Christmas wine? But I don't like Brussels sprouts. How many letters are there in the Christmas alphabet? 25. There's no L. Why did the turkey cross the road? Because of the chicken's day off. How does Darth Vader enjoy his Christmas turkey? On the dark side. Who is a Christmas tree's favourite singer? Bruce Springsteen. What did Mrs. Claus say to Santa when she looked up into the sky? Looks like reindeer. Stop press, stop press. Fantasy football results just in. Stoke City 5, Juventus 4. Malmo 0, Port Vale 3. Crewe Alexandra 0, Reykjavik FC 1. The Christmas Tree. The tradition of the Christmas tree started in the 16th century, where people used to decorate their homes with green branches to celebrate the winter solstice, as it made them think of the spring to come. The first Christmas tree in the UK was set up by Queen Charlotte, the German wife of King George III. She had a tree set up for a children's party for rich and noble families. In the 1840s, reports of a royal tree were printed in newspapers. In 1848, a drawing of the Queen's Christmas tree at Windsor Castle was published. It showed Queen Victoria, Prince Albert and their young children around a decorated tree. This started the love of Christmas trees in the UK. Around the world, in India, banana trees are decorated. In Lebanon, small trees are grown from bean seeds and decorated with balls of cotton wool. Christians see it as a sign of an everlasting God. Trafalgar Square. One of the most famous trees is in Trafalgar Square, London. This is gifted to the UK by Norway every year as a thank you for the help the UK gave them in World War II. Upside down tree. Originally, the Christmas tree in poorer houses would have been hung upside down from the rafters. Fruit and nuts, sweets wrapped in shiny paper, straw, ribbon and gold-painted pine cones to decorate. Artificial trees pop up in the 20th century and were often made from ostrich feathers, papier-mâché, metal, glass or plastic. White trees were the most fashionable. Tinsel tale. A poor family had brought a tree into their house to celebrate Christmas, but sadly couldn't afford to decorate it. After placing the tree on Christmas Eve, they went to bed. While they were sleeping, a spider covered the tree in cobwebs. When Santa came and saw the tree looking like it did, he turned all the cobwebs into gold and silver. When the family woke in the morning, they danced for joy at the sight of the beautiful tree. Consequently, in Germany, Poland and Ukraine, it's meant to be good luck to find a spider's web on your tree. Remember, to stay safe, hands, face, space. Thanks to everyone who contributed to this issue of the Clubhouse Network newsletter, Christmas. Brighter futures. Passionate, empowering, sustainable, creative, equal.